I feel like that's always the trigger for everyone that messages us. It's like what their family is going to think about, what the friends are going to think about. So yeah, just imagine the internet as a place of like judgment free. It's your platform. It's your safe space. You put out your little, you curate your little world there.
Exactly.
And you post what you find is cute and inspiring, and it should not matter. Even if you get like hate, it shouldn't matter because it's your world.
Hi, this is Iris.
And this is Sophia.
And you're listening to Undressed.
Hello.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
How are
you? Monday. I'm good, actually. Yeah. Feeling energized.
Wow. Oh, must be nice.
You're not?
No.
Why?
I woke up at 7 and I went to the gym. So I'm very tired today.
You're really tired. Yeah, I bet. It was a shooting day for both of us. Yeah. So we were a little tired. But I got a coffee. It was not very yummy.
No? So, where did you go?
Oh, just one of those that sell like pastries and natas.
Yeah.
It's not amazing. But yeah, today we're going to talk about the influencer life.
Yes.
And I know already, like, it's one of those subjects that people just want us to talk about every single time. Yeah.
We got so many messages all the time. Yeah. But at the same time, we were talking about this the other day. At the same time, we also get a lot of questions, at least I do, and I think you do as well, asking what do we do for a living.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can you not tell still?
I think people get really curious, and I think the main thing why people don't understand is because, once again, everyone has an Instagram, everyone has a TikTok, so sometimes people don't really understand how it works and feel like we are probably just doing the same thing, getting higher results or higher views.
Yeah.
And it's not. I don't really know when it clicks on you, when you start like posting and receiving engagement, when it clicks and you know it can become a job. But I think it's very like slowly, like a slow transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
But I do think that now you're considered like an influencer way sooner than
when we started.
Because like now the term micro-influencer exists. And it's now I feel like people with 10K are making money out of it.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
When we started, if you had 10K, you're a girl with 10K.
Yeah.
You're not an influencer.
I agree. And I feel like although there's more competition now to become an influencer because there's so many, obviously. I think at the same time, we are in a place in time where trends are so quick, then every brand or every person wants to follow like the brand new It Girl.
Yeah.
So it might be easier to grow fast because people just want to see different people all the time. They get bored very easily. So it's not bad to start. If you want to start, I think it's not bad.
Yeah.
But we asked you guys for like questions. We want to answer like everything. So you guys can finally stop asking us about this. And we got a lot of different questions, so I just think we just go with the flow and we start answering. So first question is, how did you start? Were you working somewhere else before?
Do you want to answer first?
I can. I was working, yes. I was working as a fashion designer that turned out to be more of a general design job. Mm-hmm. I had to do every single thing on that company regarding design, and it was not fun. Mm-hmm. But I did it for 1.5 years mostly. And I was already posting. It was like Tumblr era back then. So I was posting on Tumblr. And I'm not sure if I was posting on Instagram yet, but I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I was posting on Instagram and Tumblr, and I already could feel the rise of influencers back then or It Girls. And I was like, I wish my pictures got this, because I was always like, I think I can do this. I think I can have this quality of pictures, but I just don't have engagement. But I started posting while I was working. But when I decided to quit my job, I wasn't an influencer yet. I couldn't call myself an influencer yet.
Yeah.
So I had to, when I was at home, I had a little more free time. So I definitely started investing more time in taking more pictures. And that's how I started.
Yeah.
And you?
I started when I was still studying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was studying here in Portugal. And then I remember I moved to London and I started posting a lot while I was there. And I wouldn't consider myself, like, I would already consider myself an influencer, but I wasn't making money from it. Mm-hmm. And I already had like 200K.
Yeah, I think you started making deals later than me,
yeah,
even though we have mostly the same amount of, yeah, followers back then. Because I remember us having a lot of discussions and,
yeah,
I was already considered going to an agency and you're still like...
Yeah.
So it was a little crazy. But I feel like that's so important in the beginning and I feel we're going to touch on that later. But talking with other,
yeah,
people,
yeah,
and seeing, because you never know. Sometimes you think like, I'm making big money and then you're talking with someone else, yeah, that has like a total different view and you're like, fuck.
Yeah,
I am being like, eat it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a slap in the face for me when I was in London because I remember I already had a big platform, like 200K is considered a big platform. And I remember I was talking to friends that had like 50K and they were doing more than me.
I remember, and they were like, giving that feedback.
Wake up, girl. They were like, but I didn't have anyone to talk to. Like, I only had you at the time and I think that we had a very different idea at the time from reality.
Yeah. But I think it's also because here in Portugal, it was just... I don't want to say it was just us two because probably there were more, but it was not like a community thing.
Yeah.
There was no events, no thing, especially here in Porto. So obviously, if you're going to brand events and stuff, you eventually meet other influencers that can give you a different, mm-hmm, perspective like you had in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have this here. So,
yeah,
we were like talking to each other and trying to figure it out and learning from each other. But even so, I remember our first brand trip.
Yeah.
Like having that also slap in the face talking about this with other girls,
yeah,
and realizing how much they were earning. So that helps a lot if you... Obviously, you don't want to like meet someone and ask like, how much do you earn for,
yeah,
a job?
Yeah.
But eventually, if you talk about it with people, slowly you can start realizing and it helps. But it's funny because I feel like there's a lot of ways you can become an influencer and the ways you can gain engagement and followers. It's not always like this. It differs from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
But actually for us, I think it was very similar in terms,
yeah,
of like the duration of it.
Mm-hmm.
We were always like kind of the same in terms of followers and it took us a while, both,
yeah,
of us. But I see that some other girls have it differently. So obviously today we're gonna tell you about our experience, but,
yeah,
I don't feel like it's the same for everybody.
No, for sure, for sure. And we might have, like, we don't have a lot of dramas to tell you, like, at least from our,
yeah,
thing, but we're not, like, very prone to have dramas. I don't think,
yeah,
so.
Maybe because, once again, since it's not, like, very, a lot of competition here in our,
yeah,
city, and not many events, maybe we don't have as many,
exactly,
interactions to then have,
exactly,
drama.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if we did,
yeah,
maybe
we would have beef with someone.
I don't know, because sometimes it can happen that you're like, I'm always scared. Even we were talking about the other episode about like going to Fashion Week and the shows. I'm always scared because you always talk with so many people online that you don't meet and you're like commenting on these girls like, oh, you're so gorgeous, and you kind of like find inspo from other girls and it's like they comment your picture, so it feels like you have a connection, and then when you're there you never know how to approach,
yeah,
and sometimes you feel like you're being ignored,
mm-hmm,
but other times maybe you can be ignoring someone without noticing.
Yeah, of course.
I was, when I went to the Raban show, my cousin was recording this video of me when I entered because there's like paparazzis and I never been to a show that has so many photographers and paparazzi. So I was like, it's very overwhelming. And I was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I when I arrived to the hotel, I was checking the videos. I saw that right beside me was Caroline Wu, that we know.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, she was like 1 meter away, but and posing you didn't in see the other her. Direction. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't see her the entire show.
Yeah.
So, and also people are very like, they have this, she had like this almost hoodie on and a lot of makeup. So sometimes you can glance, but you don't really know who it is. And it's confusing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Maybe she could feel like ignored or something.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes I feel like you get used to a persona on Instagram or wherever, TikTok, whatever platform. And then you see it in real life. And sometimes you're even like, is that her?
Yeah.
You know, like, because sometimes people look different in person. Like, it's not even a bad thing or a good thing. They just look different. And you're like, I'm not sure if it's her. Should I go talk to her? Like, what should I say? Will they know who I am? Am I going to be, like, awkward? I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes I'm scared that they won't recognize me and that will look like a fan.
Yeah.
You know? I actually got this with these girls that I saw at the show that I was like, I got high, and they were actually very nice to me, but they started following me. Yeah. I didn't follow them. Uh-huh. So I started following them because they followed me. So I was like, hi, girl. And they were like, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, no. They don't recognize me.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Then we started like commenting on each other. So I think they figured it out later. But it's normal.
Yeah, it's also good to like get to know new people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go talk to people. I think
agree.
It's fun.
I agree.
Okay, how can you work with foreign brands being Portuguese?
Well, I think we always talked in English in our platforms. And it's always been a good thing, I think, because it allows us to get to more brands worldwide. But I do know some people that talk in Portuguese and they don't want to change because they're so used to the Portuguese audience and having the deals here that they don't feel the need to work with foreign brands. So I feel like if you don't have if you're not very comfortable speaking in English, it's not really bad. If you have like a Portuguese niche in your platform, it's also not a bad thing. But I think that just by speaking in English and contacting other brands that you want to work with, I think you're going to get there if you really want to work with non-Portuguese brands.
You think if you speak in Portuguese, you can work with non-Portuguese brands?
No, if you speak in English.
Oh, if you speak in English. Yeah, I think that's the main thing. If you want to work abroad, you should either speak in English or at least like, you know, that Brazilian influencer that we follow, Malu.
Mm-hmm.
She always speaks in Brazil, in Portuguese, in Brazil, in Portuguese. And now I saw that she changed a little bit doing these reels with ASMR. I don't know if she speaks good English or not, but it's also a smart way. Because
she started saying a few things like, I love it. Yeah, and exactly. Stuff like that.
But I could see like the change might be to get on a more international market. And I feel it's smart. It's another option. But if you do speak only in Portuguese, it will be harder to work with other brands. But you don't need to speak good English. There's a lot of influencers who speak really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad English. So yeah, it depends on the market you want. You should like aim for it.
Yeah, but it's definitely not a conditioning thing for you to be asking that. I don't think so.
Yeah. But for us, I don't even know like why we decided to speak in English. For me personally, I think I feel cringe doing the videos and speaking in Portuguese.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't think I don't think I feel cringe because I actually feel like sometimes your real personality comes up with your mother tongue.
No, yeah. If it was for the podcast and we decided to do in Portuguese, I think it would be so natural. Yeah. But for stories, like saying something like, hey guys, I'm gonna do this unboxing, I feel like so cringe saying it in Portuguese. I don't know why.
I feel more protected speaking in English.
more protected.
Yeah, yeah, I've always felt it's like I'm another person.
Yeah.
It's another Sophia. So I think that's why I've always spoken in English. And I think I remember in the beginning I got a few messages like, oh, why are you embarrassed from being Portuguese? Why are you embarrassed of Portugal? Why don't you speak Portuguese? Because I don't want to. Like, I don't know. I could be speaking in Japanese if I wanted to, yeah, you know?
Like, I don't think it's embarrassment. I really love Portugal, and I feel like as growing older, I'm connecting even more, and I love our country and the culture, everything, but I just feel like it's a little bit, it's like a restriction because you're limiting.
Exactly.
I would probably need to add subtitles to everything because, yeah, I feel like I want to be more, exactly, like reach more people, so I would need to do that, which is not bad, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. Next we have, do you keep the clothes brand sent to you?
Yes, except when, well, I feel like 99% of the times we keep, yes, it, except from when it's like going to the shows.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly, like big shows, runway shows. I feel like with the high end, it might happen.
Yeah.
Even if it's a deal.
Deal, yeah.
Even if it's not for the show.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know why this happens, because the high-end brands should have like a bunch of money, so I
a
bet
bigger budget.
They could give it away.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do send gifts that you can keep, the big brands, but also a lot of times like they send something to you for you to create the content, and then you need to return, which is a little
nasty.
A little annoying. I don't love it, yes. I don't mind like used clothing. I use a lot of like vintage, mm-hmm, clothes and secondhand. But I have this thing with shoes.
Yeah.
And one time it happened with a big brand, a high-end brand, that sent me a very nasty pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I remember sending you the picture.
Yeah, like, I saw the pictures. It was nasty. I don't understand. They should be embarrassed.
They should
be embarrassed of making you wear that.
Yeah, I think it can happen because a lot of people wear it without socks. But even so, like, at least have someone like a personal stylist there that's gonna like make sure before everything is sent, it's very clean,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
in a good state.
Yeah, but if you're starting and if brands suggest to you sending you stuff for you to create content and then you have to send it back, I wouldn't personally accept it now. I think, yeah, that's a little bit shady. Because at the end of the day, you're doing work for free for them. So I feel like keeping the clothes should be like the bare minimum.
Yeah, I think so too. If you can negotiate even a small rate, then I think it can make sense.
Yeah.
Because you're creating a lot of content with a lot of different clothes. And when you're starting, you might not have like the budget to buy a lot of different clothes.
Course,
so you're,
yeah,
gonna like have a bunch of content. Mm-hmm. But either they pay you something, because if not, they are not really giving anything to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, I remember because we were talking about the whole like Zara thing and, yeah, how people do that. So it might be even better to do that than to do it for a brand that is not paying you anything. So the thing we saw people do is ordering stuff from Zara and shooting everything, even if it's like a reels, changing outfits inside the house or something, and they don't remove the tags,
yeah,
and then they send it back. And there's a lot of people doing this even with the high end.
Yeah.
Just to do an unboxing of like a crazy boot.
Yeah.
And then sending it back.
I always think about that. Like when I see people unboxing insane stuff, like the Jack Moose heel that had the brush
on, yeah,
the heel. I'm like, are you seriously gonna wear that? Or did you just do a big unboxing for it to have millions of views and then you're gonna send it back?
Yeah, I think so. Even on TikTok, there was a girl, I don't remember the name, that she did like a concept, TikTok concept, of going to the shop to buy, I don't remember if it was the brush thing, but it was like this crazy pair,
yeah,
of shoes. So a whole TikTok going to the shop, imagine Balenciaga, to buy the crazy shoes. Then a whole TikTok unboxing than a whole TikTok saying that should I return these boots because I don't feel very comfortable. And people said like yes. So she did another TikTok going to return, picking something else to return, to exchange.
And that's like a cycle.
That's like four TikToks, you know. And yeah, if she does it all along, like keep exchanging, yeah, like she's gonna like keep having content without paying anything.
Yeah, it's an investment.
It's an investment.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's insane. But even when I remember I had this big shoot a while ago and everything that I wore that they were making me wear, besides it was for like a shoe brand, and all of the clothes was from Zara. Wow. And they still had a tag. They would like remove the tag like after in with Photoshop, and they would like return all of the clothes after, yeah, the shoot.
I personally, I think it's a little nasty.
Yeah.
I understand that it's quite smart if you're starting and you do this for a reel. And if you're careful with the clothes and you don't take them outside, if the shoot is not outside, if it's like in a studio, it's kind of fine. And if you do it in your room like trying the new Zara collection and then you return everything, fine.
Yeah.
But also as a buyer from Zara and all these shops, it's a little messy when you buy something. Like the other day I bought this dress from Monkey. Actually, I bought it when I was in Paris. And I saw the dress. It looked fine to me, so I bought it. And then I was wearing, because I don't wash everything before wearing, mm-hmm, when it's dresses and, mm-hmm, stuff. I don't. I was putting it on and it smelled so bad, like sweat. And I had to, yeah, now it's washing and it still had tags, but like when it smells like that, it was worn for a bit. It's not like just trying it out.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a little
someone
nasty.
Wore it without removing the tag.
Yeah. And if it's like white stuff and it's full of foundation, it's, yeah, not great.
Yeah.
But it can be a tip. If you want to do that, it's fine. So another question is, what percentage of clothes in your closet has been gifted from brands?
Wow, I don't know.
I would say 90% for me.
90? That's a lot.
Oh my God, but if I think about it, it is. It is, I think. Like, it's more than 80 for sure.
I don't know. I have a lot of things from Vinted. Like,
thinking?
If we think about my outfit. So, okay, let's do a percentage thing. So, let's say we have shoes, one. Jacket, one. Two. And then we have skirt, three. And then let's put this and this, four or five. From five pieces, three were gifted.
Yeah, so in this case for you is like 70 or, yeah, something. Yeah. I guess it depends. Like for me today, it would be from three pieces. I'm only wearing three pieces. Only one I purchased, so two out of three.
Yeah.
But I think in my closet, like if I think about like jeans and pants, I probably bought like three or four out of 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think like that, it's a lot. Even for jackets, like I have a lot of vintage jackets, but some of them were like from collabs with vintage clothes,
yeah,
vintage shops. So yeah, it's a high. If it's not 90, maybe it's 80,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, I would say more than 70.
Yeah. I do. If we're talking about shoes, then it's a little different,
yeah,
because that's where I spend
same
all my money.
Same.
Shoes and bags.
Shoes and bags, yeah. I agree. And hats and accessories. Yeah.
Accessories, jewelry.
Yeah, yeah.
But what do you do with the clothes that you don't like anymore?
We sell it. Sealies. On Vinted. We sell our stuff on Vinted, Depop. Sometimes we use Micolet. I don't know how to say it. I think it's French. I don't know. Or Spanish. Is it Spanish?
Maybe. Micolet. But I don't know if I don't have anything anymore, but yeah, we have Vinted and Depop. It's like the two main ones, and we have like they mirror each other,
mm-hmm,
so you can buy in either. We have someone that helps us with that,
yeah,
because it's a lot of work if you want to do it yourself. But if you're starting, it's a way of revenue. Like you get sent stuff, and if brands don't have budget to pay you yet, it's a way that you can get some money back. And I feel like this is a controversial subject. There's a lot of people who think that influencers shouldn't sell the pieces that were gifted to them, because sometimes we sell it without even wearing. But the truth is, we receive so many stuff, and usually a lot of brands send us stuff without paying.
Yeah.
Just like gifting.
Exactly.
And sometimes, like, you like some stuff from the brand once, and you ask if you want to collab, or you say yes because you like something, but then they have your address, so they keep on sending.
That's true.
Sometimes I receive packages that I don't like anything.
Yeah, same. And it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And another thing that happens a lot to me, and that pisses me off how often it happens, is me asking for a size to a brand, a medium or a large. Even the other day, I was like, can I get like this jacket, a large, and the pants? I want the medium. And they were like, can we just get your height? And I was like, sure, it's blah, blah, blah. And they were like, okay, we just sent. I received a confirmation email. They sent me the pieces in the size small.
Yeah.
And I haven't received the package yet, but I already know that they're not going to fit me like I want to. What am I going to do? Am I going to message? Am I going to have to go through the hustle of going to the like post office to return them, and I'm going to have to spend money when they didn't just listen to me?
Yeah.
And this happens a lot, and it's insane.
It happens to me too. And some brands just keep your size in the files as small, and then every single package is come with a small. It happens to me a lot too, and it's so annoying. Sometimes I even like the pieces.
Yeah, exactly, but they don't have the fit that you want.
They don't have the fit. Like the other day, because sometimes you can order, the brands give you like a code and you can place order yourself, mm-hmm. and then it equals zero. There's a way that they can gift you. And I order a size 30, and I don't know how it happens, but it arrived at 24, so I couldn't fit it in my head if I wanted to. So obviously those cases I need to sell, and I don't have enough friends even to gift that have that size.
Of course,
to gift.
Same.
So I think it's a way for you to get revenue. So I some people might not agree, but I think it's smart of us to do that.
I think it has to be, because we don't have space to keep everything, unfortunately. Like, if I could, I would. Because there's things that I've sold and maybe I would wear them again. But you have to make choices. When we have our, like, job, you have to make choices, unfortunately.
And it's better to detach yourself from certain things, because they can find, they as the clothes, they can find like a better home, someone that was going to wear them more. And I regret in the beginning, because in the beginning when I started receiving stuff, I felt very attached to the stuff, because you start receiving free stuff, it's like Christmas every day, it's amazing. So I, even with makeup, because when I started, there's something else. I took a lot of selfies because I didn't have anyone to help me. So I got more PR from like makeup in the beginning. So I had saved so many makeup that I now need to throw away, because it has expired.
Yeah.
So now I try to, like, every time a makeup package arrives, I try to select a few pieces to me, and then I gift to someone. Also, sometimes I gift makeup inside my Vinted purchases. Yeah. So that's like a little gift you can find if you buy from my Vinted.depop. I try to give away some stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I do the same with glasses.
Glasses. Oh, that's cute. Yeah. Yes. Glasses are hard to sell.
Yeah.
So if you would start now, do you have any tips, anything you think is going to be helpful if you would start from scratch?
I think do not be scared of being cringe.
Yeah.
That's like super important, I think so. And it's like a motto for your life, I think so. I think cringiness, I have an opinion about being cringe. I think it's like all made up. It's not real. Like the concept of being cringe. Because like, why is it cringe? Because in other people's brain, it's cringe. Like, are you letting other people's judging what you're doing?
I saw this video, I don't remember if it was on TikTok, that said that cringiness comes from your insecurity. So whenever you see something that is cringe to you,
yeah,
it's because it triggers one of your insecurities.
Exactly.
And I've been seeing stuff differently since I saw that, because I do get cringe moments too, not only for myself, but sometimes I'm watching like Portuguese TV and I see these moments and I'm like, cringe. If I could like hide in a hole just by watching.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking, maybe this is an insecurity of mine. Maybe I'm afraid to be in that person's shoes and feeling the cringe moment. Like, yeah, the hole is an insecurity of mine. So I'm trying to force that. But it's always gonna be cringe, I feel like.
Yeah.
Always. Like, even now, if I wanna try to do something a little different, it gets cringe. It's cringe.
Yeah.
I saw another TikTok today that it was a girl saying, if you know me in person and you're scrolling and see my TikTok, enjoy it, but don't talk to me about it. Because like, this is for strangers.
Yeah.
It's for strangers only. And I feel it's the same. Like, I'm confident in my work, but I don't want like my family and friends to come talk to me and say like, oh, the other video you made, dancing. And I like,
No, don't talk to me about it. Yeah, I agree. And I feel like that's always the trigger for everyone that messages us. It's like what their family is going to think about, what the friends are going to think about. So yeah, just imagine the internet as a place of like judgment free. It's your platform. It's your safe space. You put out your little, you curate your little world there.
Exactly.
And you post what you find is cute and inspiring, and it should not matter. Even if you get like hate, it shouldn't matter, because it's your world. It's the same as the way, like the way you're living your life, the way you choose how to live your life. You're always gonna hear like judgment from someone in the whole world. Of course, like someone in the entire world is not gonna agree with the way you're living your life now. But you don't know, because they don't have a way of telling you.
Yeah.
But when you're on the internet, they have, and they can get to you. And like, and even when people are being judgmental to you, it always comes from their insecurities. So you should not, at least you're doing something, you know? And they're
I agree. And it's funny how a stranger from like the other side of the world can like relate to your content and don't find it cringe and says like slay, but then like your most trusted circle, the closest people to you, are the ones that are gonna say like cringe or laugh when you're not there about your content. And that shows a lot about people. So you should just learn more about like your close friends than just like being affected by it. Just like, yeah, I shouldn't give a fuck. Just post. A lot of people think so much. Every time that someone asks me for advice, I start talking with them. And it's always like so many excuses that people do. I know it comes from fear, but like, just post the damn photo. What's the worst that can happen? I see people that have like no followers whatsoever thinking so much and like deleting and archiving stuff because like it doesn't look good on the feed.
Yeah.
You want to scroll all the way back in my feed?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't...
Yeah.
No one cares. No, like, you're going to keep on posting. No one cares about that extra photo, that it's not like the right angle. Just keep on posting. Keep evolving.
Putting out content is more important than, I don't know, anything else. Like, you should just post. That's, yeah. Just find a way of being consistent. I don't know if that's like creating content in bulk when you have a free day, like doing recording loads of things, getting loads of pictures. But yeah, find a way of being consistent, because you're not gonna grow if you're not consistent. I don't think so.
I agree.
It's not gonna happen, unfortunately. And just posts, like, it's not, there's not a magic like recipe.
Exactly. And like we talk here on another episode about like it being like starting is an opportunity to make mistakes, and you have like all this freedom to experiment. So I would really invest on that. Just experiment. Like, why are you thinking, no, I want to be like a fashion influencer, so I'm not going to do this makeup video. I'm not going to post this video of me singing because I want to be an influencer about fashion. Or like, you're starting. So it's the best time to put it all out there. Everything that you think you're good on, if you want to do a video making a coffee, if you want to do a video like recommending books, just do, and then one might be big and you start like understanding your path.
Yeah.
Just try to put it all out there. Don't think too much.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Just show your fucking face.
Triggered.
Okay. Another question about starting. Are hashtags helpful?
No. I'm so sorry. I've never used a good hashtag in my life.
I tried in the beginning hashtags, but they never did anything for me. So I just stopped using them.
It was like hashtag fashion, hashtag outfits, hashtag OOTD. OOTD.
Okay, that's something that I think is cringe. Imagine. Hashtag beautiful. Hashtag cool. Hashtag I am so amazing.
Hashtag street style.
Wow. No, I don't think it helps.
No.
Do you post in real time? If not, how much time ahead?
Yeah. We do not post in real time. But there's people who post in real time and it works for them. So you just need to find whatever works for you. I feel like we have like a good 2 weeks, 1 week to 2 weeks feed sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think it's the best because it has happened before that one of us is like traveling and the other one is alone without no one to help her. Like you can get sick. It has happened to me like getting sick and not being able to get out of bed like from Monday till the next Monday. Yeah. It was hardcore shit. And if I didn't have content to post, I would be like not posting for a week. And that's okay though. That's okay. Sometimes I follow people and they stop posting and they just come back saying that they're sick. That's also fine. But I think the best way, and for us, the best way that we find and what makes us feel more relaxed is having content like that. Because you can rest in between, like taking content, your creativity can load up again. But I also see people that think, I've already heard people saying that what we do is actually insane. Mm-hmm. Because like, we're not like on top of the thing, you know, because whatever you're shooting today, it's probably going to be more relevant today and maybe not in a month. Sometimes, I don't know, or in 2 weeks. So, I don't know. I think it depends.
Yeah, I see that point. But I think like...
Especially with trends.
Mental health
especially with trends. Yeah, for sure.
And I think for us, it was about that and finding a good balance.
Yeah.
And it stressed me out knowing that I have nothing to post.
Yeah, for sure.
So I much rather have, I think like the best for me is trying to have like 4 or 5 outfits ahead.
Yeah.
That's usually like 1 or 2 weeks. I think the good balance is shooting like 3 times a week because now we have like reels and everything. So you can kind of can do like a reel and an outfit post with one outfit.
Yeah.
So that's like, if you shoot 3 times, like 6 days of posting. Yeah. So that's just perfect, 3 times a week. But obviously, if you get sick, if you travel and you can't do that in a week, then next week you can compensate and do a little more. But I think that's really good. And even if you have this moment that you want to post on the day that you actually shoot, like I do feel that way when we're in Fashion Week or like... if you're at Coachella, you're not going to post Coachella after like
two weeks. Yeah.
So if you want to do that, it's great. And you just put that post before the other one that you already have saved. And then you can come back home and still be relaxed because you know you have some other post saved. And I feel like it's not... We're living already in such a stressful FOMO way that you feel like you need to hit that audio while it's trending, the trend while it's trending. So I think it's actually good to be like 1 or 2 weeks ahead and wait for to post the audio because you're going to realize, that's what I noticed, that it still hits. So I don't feel like the need to be like stressing out to post.
I agree. But I also feel like we have this mentality because this is our job.
Mm.
Okay. So like if you're starting, I don't think you should have this mentality because it's literally our job. Like if we don't have nothing to post, it's because we've been slacking off, because what else are we going to do? Because we don't do anything else. But if you study, if you work, and if you're trying to do like Instagram at the same time, it's okay. You can go like shoot tomorrow and then post tomorrow. And then the next day if you don't get to shoot, maybe you can shoot like the day after that and then post. So yeah, I feel like as long as if you try to be like the most consistent as you can be, that's good.
I agree. And you don't even need to post daily when you're starting.
Yeah.
Not like too spread apart, but maybe a day yes, day no, something like that.
Like three times a week.
Four. And also, like you were saying, if you have like a free day, try to do like two outfits and
exactly.
a reel and a picture of each outfit, and you have already four posts.
Yeah, exactly. If you go out and you shoot one outfit in the morning, then another in the afternoon, and you get home and you have like a video from each, you get four posts. And that's good for a week, I would say. If it's good content, if it's good quality content, it will get you far.
Yeah, so one day of the week, you have posts for the entire week. It's a good balance.
And I think it's best to focus on quality content rather, for me at least, rather than a lot of quantity.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes you can tell when influencers post a lot.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Do a lot of outfits. I feel like you can tell.
Yeah. Like the thing we were saying, like even if you go record a lot of outfits in the same day, somewhat I can tell sometimes.
Yeah.
So it looks more natural to me if it's a lot of outfits on a reel to do it during the week. If it's like outfits of the week, it really being outfits of the week. But if you're starting, I don't think you need to wait this.
Of course.
Since it's our job, we try to make it as natural as I can. And also stress me out when it's like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I even don't like to post like twice a day anymore. Like once a day. Sometimes I even don't post at all.
Yeah.
But next question. Do you ever get bored and wish you were doing something else?
No.
We have tough days. Don't get us wrong.
Tough days, but it never crosses my mind to do something else.
Our job is really, it's really good and really easy in a way. Like we have hard days and sometimes it's a struggle and we work a lot. That's something that I feel like we need to clarify because although it's like social media, people might think it's easy in that way that, I don't know, you just shoot something during like 2 hours and then you have like the entire week free. But it's not like that. We work a lot of hours and it's also like sometimes we wake up, like you were saying, at like 8 or 9 and we start like putting the outfits together, doing the makeup, going to shoot. Then we get here to the podcast. Then we post around like 9 o'clock at night. So you can work a lot more hours than an average person. But at the same time, I can't say this is a hard job.
No.
It's not. Like, it's you are able to live almost like a dream life.
Exactly.
We're very blessed in a way. So,
yeah. It's hard mentally, I would say.
Yeah.
But so are many other jobs. So, yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. And it's good because it's never boring because we can always be creating new stuff and finding new ways of doing what we like. And I don't know, creating outfits is just so exciting. It's like having new like characters every day. So yeah, I think it's cute.
In a way,
it's good.
And every time you close a big deal, or even if it's not big, like a brand that you want to, it's like such an excitement.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to keep working with different brands because you're allowed to think, how can I make this product shine?
Yeah.
You know, either if it's like glasses, necklaces, shoes, like you're very excited to like work with these brands and create something different.
Yeah.
So yeah, even if you want to do just content for yourself, sometimes what I do have is that I get bored of a certain type of content.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need a refresh in a way. Sometimes I want to like go back to YouTube and put all into YouTube because I feel like I miss it. Other times I'm like, let's get back to TikTok really strong.
Yeah.
I try to post on every platform to keep them active, but sometimes I feel like the urge to do more for a certain platform.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah, but it's good that we haven't got bored yet.
Yeah. Oh, we have, just so you guys know, we have like more than 20 questions here. So since we are talking for I don't know, 40 minutes or so, I think we can answer like a last one because we made a promise to rate
your outfits
again. So we might just answer a last one and rate your outfits and get back to this team to answer the rest of them
next episode. Yes, sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah.
I told you people have a lot of questions. Okay, last one for this episode is, how do you feel about sharing your personal life on social media?
Do you want to answer first?
Once again, just like the timing thing and how we organize our schedule, I feel like it's the same. For me, I needed a balance, so I don't share all my life. Like on weekends, I barely do anything for my social media in the sense of like doing stories, or I do feel the urge to post stories every day, which is annoying, and I'm trying to fight that about me because it feels like you don't exist if you don't post a story. But it also helps something we do, which is like you do a bunch of photos for like a photo dump, so when you're posting the dump on that day, you still can put stories from that dump. From that day. So you still have stories from like a week ago.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a good balance for me because the time I spend at the weekends that is like free of work and that I forget to take pictures is like the best time. Mm-hmm. When you're like actually at the movies or you're in a friend's dinner and although the food is so beautiful, you forget to take a picture. Yeah. It's a sign that you're living in the moment.
Exactly.
So I try to separate. Also, my boyfriend doesn't love pictures, so I don't involve him as much.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly like YouTube is the one that sees the most of my personal life and here on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But on Instagram and TikTok, I feel like people want to.
Yeah.
They would love for me to talk more on the stories and show more about like my house, my parents. Like doing TikToks with your parents would be like such a hit.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to keep a balance because this is a life I chose and not the ones around me chose. So that's the balance I keep.
I agree. I feel like we're at a good place right now. Balance-wise from what we share and what we live. And I feel like if I cross a little bit that, I'm going to be again in a place of lots of stress.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. We found like such a perfect balance now.
Yeah.
I feel like both of us. And before that, it wasn't always like this. So it's something you find after going through
breakdowns.
How do you call it? Like burnouts.
Burnouts.
I think we both had burnouts before in different timings. And that happens because once again, you're the owner of your own job. So you're like the boss and you can like go overboard. You can work on weekends. We can do everything. And brands will push you. So we're going to get brands doing like the package arriving on Friday and be like, can you deliver this on Sunday?
Yeah.
And we need to put our feet down to like, no, we don't work on weekends and stuff like that. And give us the breaks that we need for our mental health. And also, I think personal life. Some influencers share a lot and are very open. I'm not against it. But I think for me, I need this balance.
Same. And I like to follow other influencers' personal life.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I sometimes relate to them more because I feel like they're almost my friend. Of course, like the more you know of someone's life, the more you can connect with them and the more you can feel connected with them and the more you like them. So we are definitely losing in that aspect because I feel like the more you share, the more people will feel connected to you. But you're winning in another areas. So,
yeah. Exactly. And if everything goes wrong, like your life, your circle, your friends, your family, it's untouched.
Yeah.
You know, even if you get canceled, if you don't want to do this anymore tomorrow, it doesn't involve your family. You can pick another lifestyle for you. And if it doesn't, because I see so many like TikTok couples.
Yeah.
Family. Do you remember that family that was on YouTube? It was Ace Family or something?
No, I don't remember.
Something like that. Like the entire family had a YouTube channel and then they broke up and it was like, you know, even with Charli D'Amelio, the whole thing that's happening because their parents got famous. If they never showed the parents, they wouldn't have this trouble now.
Of course, yeah.
It's just them too. But they involved everyone. Like the sister got famous, the boyfriends, everyone got famous. So obviously, it's gonna hit you back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's a choice. You can do whatever, but we prefer it this way.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer it too. And I think it's wise. But yeah, to each to their own. And sometimes it works out perfectly. Sometimes you have like a couple's account and you guys are like doing all this traveling and you're going to stay together forever. And that's amazing. But yeah.
But it can go wrong too.
I agree.
Well, it's time for...
It's time to rate your outfits. I'm so excited. Okay, so we have 10 outfits. You guys sent us a lot, and we love you for that. It was a hard choice, but we picked 10. And yeah, let's start with the first one. This is from Queen Jess 22.
Can I see?
This is her outfit. It's like a deconstructed two-piece shirt. It's kind of cute.
It's cute. I never saw this kind of... set before. Yeah,
it's very unique.
Yeah, very unique. So many people have like the whole blazer that then they transform the bottom into a skirt. But this is a little different.
Yeah.
It's almost like a blazer turn the back to the front.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a little bit of blue shirt underneath, which is so cute.
And then some Mary Janes kinda, or just like ballet flats.
Yeah, with a little heel.
Yeah.
I actually love when they have a little heel and it's so hard to find. A small black bag. And I love the reading glasses
too. It's really cute. She looks really cute.
She has like a tattoo in the belly and the whole outfit just complements the tattoo. So she looks... The Queen Jess is queening.
Queen Jess is slaying.
Slaying. Are we just gonna say like who's the winner after what seeing the 10 or are we rating individually?
Let's just say the winner.
Yeah. But... not like a specific rate, but you are slaying it.
You are slaying, Next, we have Easy Fernandez.
Easy Fernandez.
And this is a Vivian Westwood girly.
Wow.
She's wearing a Vivian Westwood corset. Mm. And then she's wearing like a tartan skirt.
That's a Minga skirt.
That's a Minga skirt.
You have that skirt.
I have that skirt. Then she's wearing a Balenciaga Kangol. Really cute. Again, white socks with some kind of very high-heeled Mary Janes. Just like high-heeled.
The Mary Janes and the reading glasses. Definitely a trend.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the second one in a row.
Second one. Yeah, she's also slaying. I like it.
I like it too. I think you're very... If I saw you on the street, I would think you're very cool.
Yeah.
And very Vivian, like Sophia was saying. The only tip I would tell you, and who am I to tell you anything? But like, I think if that trench coat was bigger, you'd have more impact. I love like big shoulders. So that's the only thing I would say.
I agree.
But hey, girl. Amazing fit.
Slaying, slaying. Third one is Fear of AK or Fear of Ack. I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's a good fit too.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a boy, by the way.
It's a boy. I love that jacket is like this firm, like shirling.
Yeah. Like fleecy.
Fleecy jacket.
It's really cool. I love the jacket.
It's like light pink and black, almost like a marble effect. So it's very original and cool. The jeans are begging.
The jeans are begging. And the teams are Timberland.
The hat is hatting.
The hat is hatting.
No, it's cool. I like it. Really nice.
Yeah. Very nice. You can't go wrong with a fit like this. I don't think
so. It's like an everyday comfy. So yeah. Slay.
Slay.
Ooh, I love the workwear. Yes.
This is Chef's Kiss. This is from... Sithu Matebe.
Sithu Matebe.
Sithu Matebe. And I love the palette. I love the color palette is going on. It's really nice. He's wearing like a Kaharty vibe.
Yeah, like a workwear jacket so trendy right now. All the big houses are doing them, like Prada, Miu Miu, everything. The jeans are very baggy and gray, which is like different from the blue, at least. Yeah. It's like something fresh.
Exactly. Then he's wearing a North Face beanie, a yellow one, and it really gives like a different touch. I like the yellow touch.
I love that colorway of that beanie.
Yeah. And then just sneakers that match the whole pants and belt situation.
The Yeezys, the gray ones. I have it in beige. Actually, he's giving me inspo to wear them again, so thank you. What's his name?
Situ Matebe.
Situ, I'm gonna steal that idea from
you're
you
slaying.
And bring back my Yeezys.
You're slaying as well.
Next, Kendall Campos. Campos? I'm saying with Portuguese accent. It's a really nice fit, like full on dark denim. That's something that we both have done before and always works great.
Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Teams again, so nice. And the hat, I can see properly, but
it's camel.
Fun.
It's so cute.
Oh, it's so cool. I love that shade and it's very, that shape, sorry, and it's very rare to find where you have like a flat cap, but the hat in itself is soft. So
yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah. You're
really good.
As well.
Everyone's slaying today.
Then we have Max 86B. Is that your apartment?
I'm gonna be honest. I thought for a second it was a grandpa. That's like the grandpa vibes are like to the...
It's grandpa core. It's giving grandpa. But like a
but
cool grandpa.
Exactly. It's not a grandpa. But the vibe is there because I was gonna mistake you for a grandpa.
But yeah, he's wearing like a cool bomber jacket, like a varsity jacket, in the shades of like blue, and it has like red details, then a red sweater underneath.
Is it red?
Like burgundy.
It looked brown. Wow. Okay. I was going to say that I have the same one because I thought it was brown, but then maybe it's burgundy.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And then just like jeans, baggy jeans, and then Teams.
The Teams are strong.
Yeah, the Teams are strong.
I like it.
I like it as well.
I like the vibe. I think the pants could be even baggier. But once again, maybe the trend is like making them a little slimmer again. So who am I to say anything?
Who am I? Okay.
Oh, slay.
Sandra GG.
So from what I see, there's like this leopard shearing top underneath a big t-shirt. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we have pleated tartan red skirt, fur hat, fur
scarf,
sunnies, boots, high heel boots.
Love it.
I like the outfit. For me, it's a little bit too much going on, so I would take down some stuff.
Same.
I would probably take down the leopard print and the scarf and the hat.
Yeah, the shades can stay. The look is with the shades.
The look is with the shades.
I like it. I like it with the shades. It looks cool because she's indoor.
It's a vibe.
Wearing.
Yeah. Definitely a vibe. But if it's your style, we're not the ones to judge.
Of course.
But definitely the only tip would be to take some stuff off.
Yeah, you're still slaying. Okay, then we have Noah Solino.
Oh, Noah is at a like this red carpet thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who are you? Who are you? Yeah, who are you and where are you? Okay, so she's wearing like this Burberry Bermudas and then white fishnets underneath. Very bold. Like, very bold. And then just white sneakers, a white tank top, like a crop top.
Yeah.
And then a white jacket. And then for a purple color, she added an orange back.
Yes. I love the concept of this. The whole, like, white. The shorts are a vibe. I love them. And I like that she put, like, the whole socks, the tights underneath the jorts or the shorts. Because it's a vibe. But I think, once again, just like the other girl, I would remove certain things.
Yeah.
Maybe because we had such a big trend of maximalism where you were adding, then now I'm feeling the need to take a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe the bow of or the scarf.
Yeah.
And I think the jacket could be bigger, but that's a problem that I have. I think it could only go bigger.
I agree. I totally agree. Even the shorts could be a little bit
baggier.
I agree too. But yeah, I still think you look cool. And
And work it. You're definitely on a like a runway thing. So.
Definitely working it. Okay, Then we have Duarte Suárez. He's wearing like a brown and black full outfit. I love this color combo. He's wearing like a baggy brown jeans. Then he's wearing a very cool cowboy belt and a very cool brown jacket that looks vintage.
Yes.
Then underneath he's wearing a black sweater and then just Dr. Martens. I think it looks cool. I think it works.
I think it works.
I think you can go wrong with this type of feet as well.
I think he's definitely Portuguese.
Yeah.
Because the name is very Portuguese.
Name is very Portuguese.
When I see that floor.
The floor.
That we call it here paralelos. It's definitely Portuguese.
Yeah, you can tell.
In the construction side.
Yeah.
But regarding the outfit, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Love the whole like monochrome brown thing. It works. I love the belts. And Dr. Martens, I think you can never go wrong with them.
I
think
agree.
Sometimes they are more in trend mm-hmm. than other times, but it's always like that classic
shoe.
Yeah. So I like it.
Okay, this is the last one. And it's from Cami Santu. And she's
is
wearing...
Is this also in Portugal? I think so, no? It looks like.
I think it's giving Spain.
It's giving Spain?
Like it's giving Spain.
It's our neighbors, so...
Yeah. But yeah, she's wearing like a red cardigan. And I think it looks really cool because the buttons are gold. And then she's matching with a gold chain. And I love the top part. Then she's wearing just like black tights and red socks. Showing off just a little bit under black boots and then a hat, a black hat and a black bag.
Can I see closer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like this cardigan. It's very like school vibes.
Yeah, I like school. The top of the outfit. I would wear it differently from the to the bottom, but I think she still looks cool.
Yeah, in the first place when I saw from afar, I thought it was leggings, so I was like, not a big fan, but since it's black tights and you can see a little bit of transparency, I kind of like it with the cardigan.
Yeah.
I don't love the red socks and the boots are not my fave.
Yeah.
But I think if I curve her the shoes and she had like some ballerinas, Mary Janes, or even sneakers, I think it would be a hit. So
I
that
agree.
Would be my tip.
I agree.
Is this it?
It is.
Everyone is slaying, loving everything. Let me see if I have a favorite from all these good outfits.
I have a favorite.
I think it's, yeah, I think we have the same favorite. North Face beanie.
Yes, it's Situ.
It's Situ.
Our buddy.
For sure, it's the one that inspired me the most. And yeah, I love it because you guys might think that you are gaining something from it, but we can also be inspired by you.
For sure.
And this Sito is very inspiring, so thank you for sending this.
Thank you so much. We're going to keep reading your outfits as often as we can because it's really fun. And it's very inspiring.
Yes.
And yeah, I think this is it for the first part of influencer life.
Yeah, we need to spread this theme into two episodes, so keep tuned for the next one.
Yeah,
we're gonna say more stuff about this, and there's no pink ball time.
No pink ball time, but we're gonna see you next week, hopefully. And thank you so much for watching.
Thank
you.
We love you.
Bye.